All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on this glorious day, the day that we remember just what you did for us and how you suffered, Lord. And then on that glorious day, God's will was fulfilled when you rose, Lord, and you paid the price for our sins, Lord. Help us to remember that, Lord. That's why we celebrate this, Lord, for the remembrance and to be able to take inventory, take just to look at our lives if there's areas that we haven't surrendered to you, to completely surrender it to you, Lord, and to just let it all go because you died for it, Lord. It all was paid for on the cross. So we thank you for this morning, Lord. We ask you to just bless this call, Lord. Yes. Protect it from any interference. I ask you just to help Jeanette to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit's word and allow us to receive it in our hearts the way you would have, Lord. I ask you to just protect every environment that everyone is in, Lord, and just keep the enemy away. I just ask you for those people who are not on the call yet, who are coming or who couldn't call, just bless them, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just worship you and praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're going to pick up a little bit from where we were. Quick, we were talking about Judas the Iscariot. Iscariot, because that's the region he was from. And the day that the woman came, who we believe, or some of us believe, or it could be Mary Magdalene, and she washed his feet and dried them with her hair and poured precious oil on his feet. And Judas, that was it for him. Done deal. That's it. That could have been used, he said, to feed the poor, which was the least of his concerns. But immediately after that, he sought a time to betray Jesus and had made up his mind that that's what he was going to do. So we're going to start from Matthew 26. And what I want to do is I hate that I'm going to do this, but I'm going to try to move as quickly as possible because there's a lot that happened, and I want us to see the order in which it happened. Because when you read each gospel, you've got to put them together for the order. There's things that happened in that upper room that we might not be aware of, some aren't. Okay, so Alexandra, if you would start with Matthew 26, verse 16.
Okay, hang on, because you thought you said 17. No problemo. Alrighty. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over the Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came..."
Stop for a sec. I don't want us to miss this. For one, the Passover, if we can go back in time, which I think we will have to do at some point to make sure that everybody understands Moses' story. But for those who've seen even the movie, The Ten Commandments, the Passover was when the plagues came into Egypt. And then this final plague of death was coming for every firstborn son of the Egyptians, because Pharaoh had proclaimed that he was going to kill the firstborn son of every Israelite, and Moses said, "Uh-oh, you just proclaimed your own death warrant on your own sons." And so they had to put blood of a lamb on their door so that when that angel of death came walking through, this stuff is serious, and we talk about spiritual warfare. We We talk about that which cannot be seen. Well, the blood of the Lamb was put on the door, and that caused the death angel to walk by that house. So the Israelites celebrated this over and over, and still unto this day, they will never forget how death passed over their house.
Amen.
By what? The blood of the Lamb, who we are going to be talking about today. Amazing. So they're there to celebrate the Passover. Now, I'm going to run over to, and I'll just read it rather than, because we'll come back to it. In John, the 12th chapter, now my soul, verse 27, Jesus is predicting his own death, and he knows this is the same time as when this is happening. And he says, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it's for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood around and heard it said to themselves, it was thunder. But another said, it's an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice didn't come because of me, but for your sake. And he went on to say some other things, which we'll be getting to. Now, I'm kind of jumping. Now, he's telling his disciples, Peter and John, to go and find a place for them to celebrate the Passover. At this point, Jesus already knows it's the last Passover that he will celebrate on this side. And he tells Peter and John to go do something. Peter and John say, well, where do you want to do this? And what does he do? He gives them clear instructions. What does he say? He says, go into the city to such a man and say to him, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Jesus will not tell you, the Lord of hosts will not tell you to do something and not make a way for you to do it.
Amen.
You've got two people standing, you know, your disciples, and you've got saying, well, you know, it's Passover, Lord, where are we going to go? But he had already made a way. And so they have begun to learn that by 3 years walking with the King of Kings.
Yeah.
So he says, go to this place and there will be a man, and he'll be carrying water. And when you see him, he's going to be bearing a pitcher of water. When you see this man that has this pitcher of water, follow him. And follow him to his house. And then say to the master of that house, the Lord is coming. Now, what's the likelihood that you're going to walk into this city and see a man bearing this pitcher of water? What? Seriously?
Right.
Okay, look for a man with a pitcher of water and follow him. Sometimes when the Lord is telling us to do something, it doesn't look so logical. But if you know the Lord, you know, well, if he said there's going to be a man in the city carrying a pitcher of water, then there'll be a man in the city carrying a pitcher of water. And then just follow that man. Okay, follow the man with a pitcher of water. Isn't that amazing? But that's the kind of God we serve. He's not going to take you to it
Amen.
And then not take you through it.
Amen.
And he's already made Amen. Preparations for what he's asking you to do.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay. Keep going, Alexandra.
Sure. Verse 20. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Adam began to
stop.
Say to him,
stop before we go there. I want to talk about what else was going on during that meet, this supper that was very important that Jesus wanted to share with the 12. Because each gospel has a little bit of a different account. So Jesus breaks this bread to share with these disciples, and he was saying how important it was that he was able to be there? Why do you think it was so important to Jesus to be able to share this Passover with the disciples? Anybody?
Well,
Go ahead.
Well, the entire, I don't want to call it a process, but the entire evening was symbolic for mankind. So
yes.
I think he planted things on their heart that they will remember as we do today for the rest of our lives.
Exactly. Because I have stuff I want to cover, I was going to read, but I'm not going to do all of that. We're going to read some of it. And yes, so he wanted them to remember what was happening, but more so he wanted that fellowship with them, and he wanted to help them understand. Now, all along, remember, Jesus has been giving them, telling them all along what's going to happen, but they're like not getting it.
Yeah.
And he needs them to get it, because tonight's going to be one rough night. It's going to happen tonight. So he's breaking bread. They're having this meal. And during the meal is when this conversation breaks out about who's going to be, most important or most honored in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is trying to say, you know what, guys? I'm not even going to be here tomorrow as you know me to be. What's getting ready to happen is going to be catastrophic. I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm talking about this is my body, which will be broken for you, and you guys are sitting up here arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom.
Right.
At the end of the meal, after Jesus has tried to explain, he's breaking his bread, he's telling them that my blood is going to be poured out, at the end of that meal is when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Now, in some of the Gospels, you won't find it, but you will find it in John 13, and we're going to just skip right over there to 13, Isandra, and start reading.
John 13?
Yep, starting at verse 1.
One minute. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal.
Stop for 1 second. I can't overlook Judas again. Judas is screaming at me for some reason. Judas. The word says the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him. Let's not misunderstand this again. When Satan tempts you with something, it's because it's something that is a propensity of yours to begin with. In other words, remember when we were talking about the soul, the body, and the spirit, how there are certain things that are in our flesh that we've yield to. Some of it's DNA, some of it is just temptations we've yielded to over and over and over. So that makes it an easy target in that area, right?
Right.
If you've never yielded to drugs, that's not an easy target for the enemy, is it?
No, it's not.
Not for that person. But for somebody that's already yielded to certain temptations, they become an easy target, especially if they keep feeding it, don't repent and turn from it. That's where Judas went wrong. Not only did he not repent and turn from it when he was stealing, but now he got a major attitude problem when Mary was, you know, anointing Jesus' feet, which he didn't know was for his burial, but I don't think Judas would have cared. Because we just started this study out with, that's where Judas said, that's it, and went out and sought to make a deal with the devil. Or we'll call them the rulers of the church. Ouch. So he finds in us what's there, and we say, well, I would never betray Jesus. Well, Judas, that's a scary dude, man. You know, anybody coming out of the scary, it must be because he was the scary. But we pick at something, but don't pick too deep because you might find that you will bleed. A lot of us will say we would never betray our Lord and our Savior, but we do it all the time.
Yeah.
We do it when we have an opportunity to speak up for what you believe, and you don't. You do it when you are silent, when someone is speaking or doing something that you should not be silent. You have an opportunity to speak and you don't. Other times you sit and laugh at jokes that are not funny. You'd rather fit in. If that's not betrayal, how would you feel if somebody was laughing behind what they think is behind your back at jokes being made on you? Making light of sin, the very thing that he went to the cross for. He went to pay for your sin and my sin, the world's sin. And he paid a very, very painful price for it, and yet we'll be hearing about something sinful or some dirty joke, and we'll sit there and, is that betrayal? We don't want to recognize when it's what we're doing the same thing. So like I say, ease up on Judas. Because we get used all the time. We do things all the time that is betrayal. The Lord says if you continue in sin, in a sin that you know is sinful, and you purposely continue, he said you'll be judged as if you were the one who nailed him to the cross. Because you're taking his grace for granted. He has shown us so much grace. Grace to come out of heaven and come to earth.
Amen.
To suffer and die because he doesn't want to see you go through what we deserve. But when we continue to do the same things that he's spoken to you about, and we don't try to turn, we don't even ask to turn, we don't even want to turn, he says, that's the same as if you nailed me to the cross. Says that in Hebrews. When we take our sin lightly, it's a betrayal. I would never, never do what Judas did, but we do.
Yeah.
We just do it differently. Okay.
Verse 4.
Keep going.
So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him.
Stop.
He came to
Stop for a sec. When we deal with this, why is he washing his disciples' feet? I want you to get the picture. We just had this big Passover meal. And through the meal, they're sitting there arguing about who's going to be greater than somebody else. And Jesus decides to answer this by what he does.
Yeah.
In other words, I know that on this call, there are ministers. Ministers that I am sure will eventually be ordained ministers. Jesus is our example for those of you who are going to find yourself in that calling. He's our example. He's our example to whether you are called to that or not. What did he do? He humbles himself.
Yes.
He led by example. And if you want to be greatest, and there's no one greater than him, you want to be greatest? Then become least. Then be the person willing to wash one another's feet.
Amen.
That's how we become greatest. Keep going.
Six. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Come on now. Jesus answered. Did you want to respond?
No, I'm going to let you go.
Okay, 10. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. Nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Stop right there for a sec. So he gives the example of washing his disciples' feet. What does that look like today? And remember what he said to Peter before you answer. He said to Peter, you're already clean. Peter's saying, wash my head, wash everything. He said, you already had a bath. I don't need to give you another bath. What is being said there?
I think Peter got it, you know, and that's when he said, well, if you're going to wash my feet, wash everything.
That's how we would feel, but Jesus was telling Peter, you don't understand.
Right.
What had happened, why Jesus is saying to his disciples, you've already had a bath. I only need to wash your feet.
Because Jesus had been with them all the time.
Jesus' presence, Jesus' word. Now you are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you. People, saints, those on the call, children of the living God. If you have been saved, you've been washed. If you are a believer, you've been washed.
Praise God.
But our feet get dirty, and how is that?
Because the places we go, the things that we do.
Richard said, places we go, the things that we do. In other words, we're walking and continuously getting our feet dirty.
Yeah.
Because we're in a sinful place, on a sinful planet, sinful earth. It's not hard to trigger our flesh, as Paul says, that which I would do, I do not, and that which I would not do, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is Paul talking. So we have a problem staying clean. So what does that look like now in light of what we just said? What does that look like to wash one another's feet?
To forgive
pray
one
for each other.
Sin?
Carol said pray for each other. Zandra?
I said forgiveness. Forgive each other's sins.
forgiveness?
I would say it's continually exalting one another with the Word of God.
Yeah.
Exalting one another with God's Word. How about helping one another make this journey from the bottom up, not from the top? What do I mean by that? Instead of spending so much time maybe preaching or this or that, we can wash each other's feet by coming up under one another and helping them find their way.
Yes.
When we lose our way or when our feet are dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Hold each other accountable. Pray for one another.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're washing somebody's feet, it's done humbly. It's not, hey, I heard you were doing this or doing that. And that's not how you humbly approach anybody.
Yeah.
What about, say, I'm trying to pick something something that we would be fussing about. Oh, I heard that you were, still involved in whatever it is. What about just praying for them and then humbly having a conversation?
Hmm.
When you're talking to a saint, you're talking to somebody that is in the family of God that should know better, but they're still struggling. Help them with their struggle. Okay. Now, the rest of what happens here, before I go forward, is all of this dialogue found in the book of John, the four Gospels of John, four Gospels. John goes on and begins to really start laying out what Jesus said this night. Some of them just kind of squeak on and say, okay, well, then after that they went to the garden. But here, from John 13, all the way through, even 17, we find Jesus what he was teaching them that night. By 17, he even is praying for them. Jesus identifies the betrayer in 18 through 30. He talks about the new commandment that he's given us to love one another. He predicts Peter's denial. He talks about he's the way, the truth, and the life. All of this is going on after he's washing their feet. He continues to teach them. So this kind of goes all into the night. When Jesus is finished, he prays for them, and he prays for himself. And that's the infamous prayer of John 17. At the end of that, I want you now to flip over to John 18, Alexandra, and start at the first verse. Are you there? Are you there?
Do you want me to read, Jeanette?
Yeah, I guess. Is Andre not there?
I'm here. So sorry.
Okay.
I was on mute. I'm so sorry. John 8:1.
18:1. I thought my phone had hung up.
Yeah, you were cutting in and out as well. Okay, John 18:1. I'm sorry. Jesus arrested. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. on the other side.
Stop right there. Kidron Valley. I want to talk about that for a minute. It's also called the Valley of Death. And it's called the Valley of Death for a variety of reasons, one of which, it's a place that they would bring dead people. Now, first of all, we're on Mount Olives. So Jesus has gone on to Mount Olives, and to get to that mount, you've got to go through this valley. And the valley has, and Mount Olives, by the way, is called Mount Olives because there's a lot of olive groves there. So you can kind of hide in the olive trees or have shelter in the olive trees. This valley is known for a lot of things, but mostly it's known for death because it was like what you would call Potter's Field in New York. If you died and you were a John Doe, or your parents or nobody could afford to bury you, or there was nobody to bury you, this is where you were put. It's also a place where idols that were now abandoned were thrown. And this is the same valley that this brook runs through this valley, and there's a lot of history concerning even that brook. I'm going to bring something up right quick. Okay, it's east of Jerusalem, and they called it Death Valley. It's funny because remember in Psalm 23, and this is kind of what I want to remind us of, where he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm.
This is the valley that Jesus had to cross through to get to where he's going, to get to Gethsemane. Might not seem important, but it kind of struck me as very interesting. So poor people of the land were buried there. King David had some issues crossing into Kindred. The opponent to King David had a problem that if he ever crossed that line, that was a kind of a line in the sand that led to someplace else. So this is what Jesus has to pass through, the valley of the shadow of death. And here he finds himself in Gethsemane, which is a place to pray. And what happens there? Keep reading.
On the other side there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were all carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons.
Stop right there. This account that we're reading, now he went into great detail, John the writer went into great detail on what Jesus taught his disciples that very night, what Jesus did that very night. He washed their feet. He tried to get them to understand, stop trying to, be more important than your own brother. Because when we're seeking power and fame and fortune, who are you upping? And Jesus said, if you really want to be great, become small. So Jesus did a lot teaching that night, that Passover. Now he's in Gethsemane. And he's at this place of prayer, but it has been a long day, in all fairness to his disciples, because we are still creatures we still exist in a physical temple. So now we have the garden, and Jesus is getting ready to pray, and this moves right on into when Judas had gathered this troop to come and get him. But what had gone on in the garden prior to that?
Prayer.
Jesus is praying.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is praying And as he begins to pray, he's asking that this cup, if it be the Lord's will, could pass from him. Now, remember, we started this study out talking about when, right, we talked about John 12, 27, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. See, we can be strong as we know the trial is coming. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're in the trial, it's not so easy.
Amen.
Jesus knew what was coming. He said, no, I'm going into this. And I know this is the very, I'm not going to ask the Lord to take, this is the very reason I came to earth. Father, glorify your name. Let your name be glorified. And this is what is happening as we're, as we prepare to go in. We become aware that we're, sometimes that the trial is coming, but God is going to take us through. But now Jesus is in it. Now he's in the trial. We are not exempt the trials.
Yeah.
And now Jesus is what? Sweating bullets. And never felt so all alone. He wanted to spend this very night with his disciples. But some things, children of the Most High God, you've got to go through by yourself.
Come on and preach it. Amen.
You're not going to have anybody stand next to you and hold you up.
Yes.
You're not going to have somebody that can understand your pain.
Yeah, amen.
Sometimes you've got to go through a trial, and it's going to be God and God alone that you're going to have to talk to.
Hallelujah.
People that you expect to be there can't even be there. What was happening with the disciples? They were asleep. Why were they asleep? They couldn't walk Jesus through what he's got to walk through.
Yeah.
That happens in our lives. There are times you are going to feel more alone than you've ever been. There's not going to be someone around to pat you on the back and say, I'm going to pray right along with you. Let's pray together. There are trials we face with God and with God alone. Sometimes it's grieving. Sometimes it's letting go. Sometimes it's internal turmoil. Sometimes it's watching people in our lives that are destroying their lives and there's nothing you can do. There's only one person you can turn to. Everyone else is asleep.
Yes.
So Jesus goes and he says, can you guys, like, somebody, like, wake up? Can you not just, you know, tarry with me just an hour?
Yes.
And they went right back to sleep. And Jesus went, got on his knees again, and he's sweating bullets. Why is Jesus sweating bullets? Because he knows the prophecy about what's about to happen to him. He addressed it earlier. He knows exactly what's coming. And he's willing to do it, but even when you're willing to do it, it's not always easy. I know that in my life there's been times, and there's one of those times right now. The Lord has directed me in one way, and it's not easy.
Amen.
If I was picking, it's the last place I'd probably want to go. But if he takes you to it, he'll help you through it. So Jesus begins to pray. And as he began to pray, the Bible says angels came and ministered to him. Someone would say, why would Jesus need an angel to come and minister to him? He's the Son of God. Because he's also man.
Yes, the comfort.
And there are times that God will send an angel to strengthen you. You don't know where you got the strength. Do you think that Jesus had the strength to just walk into a crucifixion? Oh, I'm cool with that. Go ahead, rip my skin right off my body. Punch me all in my face. Let there be such a bloody mess you can't even recognize I'm a human being when you're done. Oh, I'm cool. Go ahead. I won't say anything. This is why I came, so go have at it. with every stripe, with every bruise, and then drag that cross up a hill? Seriously? On your knees? What knees? But an angel came and ministered to him. Again, people, understand that we are in a world that is carnal, but there's a whole nother world that's supernatural that is just as real as the world that you see and touch. The Lord sent power from heaven, sent an angel to strengthen him. He will do the same for you. He knows we need it. He knows that there's time, there's not a human being that can stand with you. Learn how to go to the Master honestly like Jesus did. Honestly. Is there any other way we can do this? But if not, Lord, your will be done. We have to learn that. So they came, they get Jesus. You know the rest of the story. He fulfills the purpose of which he came, and because of the door that he opened through his death, by becoming the blood of the Lamb on the door of the Passover, now death has to pass over us. So praise his name. Praise his name. Death now passes over us because he paid the price. He was the lamb that was slain, so the blood would be on the door, so the angel of death could not hold us. And that is what this is all about. That is what we call Easter. It's really just Resurrection Day. Thank the Lord so much for what he has done for us that he didn't have to do. He could have called down a legion of angels. He didn't have to. He could say, you know what? Actually, my so-called friends can't even stay awake an hour, and I'm trying to explain to them I'm getting ready to go to the worst torturous situation ever, and they're busy arguing about how great they ought to be. Seriously? How about I just call down an army of angels and wipe this whole thing out right here and now? Because it would not have been God's plan. It would have not have been his will. And Jesus knew the will of the Father because he was in communion with the Father and because he knew Scripture. Mm-hmm. Very important, people, know Scripture, because the Holy Spirit that came to earth when Jesus ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit was sent to earth, the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will bring you back the word, but you've got to have the word in your heart for him to bring you back. Read your Bibles. So now we are going to share communion and rejoice that he was willing. So Richard's going to lead us in communion today.
If you haven't, would you take a few moments to gather the elements that you need to take communion today, please?
If you don't have wine, if you you have grape juice, will do. If you don't have grape juice, juice will do. If you don't have crackers, break a piece of bread, just bread. Bread will do.
And we're all there to say amen.
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 All righty. I will pray first. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have given us this opportunity, Lord, to come to you in communion, to be in unity with you. And Lord, we're doing this in honor of you, in remembrance of you, that Lord, you bled and died and was risen again. And what a day that we celebrate. It is this day on earth that we celebrate your resurrection, the power of our Heavenly Father who raised Jesus, you, from the dead. We come before you in faith. We come before you with love and with thanksgiving. So, Father, we come doing this in remembrance of you. The bread that we have today, Lord, we break this as a part of your body that was broken for our sins. And, Lord, we thank you for taking on our sins, past, present, and future, that frees us today, Lord God, that we have an eternal life with you. So, Lord, as we break this bread, with remembrance of all that you stripes, that you took, every whip, every scab, everything that you've gone through, that your blood that was shed on Calvary was all because of us. So we break the bread in remembering of your body that was being broken. And we eat it all together in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord, for anything that we
have. And Lord, if there's anything that we have done that has grieved your spirit, would you please forgive us right now? Would you please cleanse us, for we repent together of those things that we know, those things that we don't know. That, Lord, we would be completely cleansed by the blood that we are about to take as a representative of your body, that it will wash us and cleanse us from all sin, that we'll be unified with you today, ratified and confirmed in heaven. That, Lord, all that we have done has been taken up by the blood that you shed on Calvary. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that miraculous gift that you've given to us that we don't deserve. But, Lord, you've given it to us because you love us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for washing us and cleansing us. And as we drink of the cup, which is a representation of your blood, that it will purify us and cleanse us completely this day, and every day go forward. And we will hold to the truth and the faith of that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we drink it all together. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Hey, guys, have a wonderful Easter.
Yes.
Keep in mind what it's about for us.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Richard. Have a blessed day.